Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man, why is it that reading some of these headlines about these liberal Trump derangement syndrome seminar protests, whatever you want to call them, it always sounds like a really bad coffee commercial. You know, it sounds like a commercial for really bad coffee. It's organic, fair trade, free trade. Free trade? They tariff us. We can't tariff them. How is that free trade coffee? I saw this headline from one of the liberal TV stations, KTVQ Television. It didn't used to be that way. They used to be fair and, you know, accurate to the point, or at least work to be, right? And now it's like, oh, it's all liberal junk all the time. Boy, they just get, they once again, they're slobbering over these paid protests, these phony protests put together by these George Soros groups. This is, you know what this is? This is the George Floyd crowd. This is the gun control crowd. They don't really know who they are. It's just a collection of just the carnival of far left activist groups when you look at the actual photos. But anyway, this was one of the headlines from the carnival of radical left wing activists. This was from the one in Yellowstone County. And they gathered in the same spot where the gun control activists gathered. They gathered in the same spot where the George Floyd protesters gathered, the BLM riot, you know, folks had gathered, etc. But this was the headline from the KTVQ website. From chants to chords, classic songs take center stage at protest. Yeah, again, it's like when you hear about these left-wing environmental groups, you know, Wild Earth Guardians and Center for, I mean, the names of these things, again, it's like some bad fair trade, free trade, organic, blah, blah, blah coffees. That's what it sounds like. It's a bad coffee commercial. By the way, a lot of you have been asking the question, hands off what? So these George Soros Trump derangement syndrome seminars that took place across Montana, there's a lot of them are, they're calling them the hands off protests. Well, hands off what? They want, you know what they want? Hands off? Hands off of their slush fund. Hands off their money laundering operations where they're taking your money vis-a-vis taxpayer dollars. That's what they want hands off. They want their hands on your money. And that's what they're saying hands off of. Hands off of their slush funds, hands off of their money laundering operations where your money is going right into the pockets of these liberal elites. Lots to talk about here on this Monday morning. Man, speaking of some of the coverage from the Trump derangement syndrome seminars over the weekend, brought out all the crazies. From Billings to Bozeman to Helena. By the way, why do they think this is going to help them? Bringing all the crazies out. The crazies on parade. Why do they think that's going to help them? And they're like, oh, the Montana Democrat Party was like, oh, Montana showed up on Saturday. No, Montana showed up on November 5th of 2024. We know exactly where Montanans stand. And what Montanans want to see happen. You George Soros operatives can gin up all the circuses you want.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunshine across the area today and some increasing clouds late today in spots. High temperature readings will trend from the mid-60s across the Bozeman area to the lower 70s in Billings. For tonight, we'll see some cloudiness and a few light showers possible in some areas. Upper 30s in Bozeman, mid-40s in Billings. And then on Tuesday, with the chances for showers, otherwise staying rather cloudy through the day. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Securing America.
A House Oversight Subcommittee holding a hearing Wednesday, which examined what South Carolina Republican Congressman William Timmons called
one of the most pressing national security challenges of our time, cyber espionage by adversaries targeting our critical infrastructure.
Virginia Democrat Suha Subramaniam agreed.
Programs like Salt Typhoon are actively infiltrating our networks and gaining access to sensitive information and credentials.
That Chinese hacking effort disrupted the telecommunications industry, leading to data being intercepted from more than a million users. Witness Josh Steinman, a cybersecurity expert, said the vulnerabilities are far more widespread.
Those include transportation, water, power, sewer, and the defense industrial base.
Former AT&T Chief Information Security Officer Edward Amoroso warned that if we don't improve our defenses,
then I think we'll look back on Salt Typhoon as perhaps child's play.
Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
Hey.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's have a little fun here as we kick things off in the 6 o'clock hour of the show. Do you guys remember when, I think on Special Report with Brett Baer, they probably don't do it anymore, but every Monday, towards the end of Special Report, just before 5 p.m. Montana time, they would do kind of like a montage of some of the funny jokes from the late night comedy shows over the weekend, the Tonight Show, the Late Show, whatever all these shows are called, who even watches them anymore. I don't know if they do that anymore. They probably don't do it anymore because there's nothing funny on these so-called late night comedy shows anymore. It's just Trump derangement syndrome all the time. But now, of course, you've got Greg Gutfeld on Fox News, and then every Saturday night, Mr. Saturday Night, Jimmy Failla, the former New York City cab driver, a stand-up comedian, and now has his own show on Fox News. They could, all they need to do, if they want to do the montage, just do a montage of Jimmy Failla's Saturday Night show. You could sneak in some Gutfeld if you need to there as well. There's your Monday weekend comedy montage right there. I whipped up one of our own here. Let me pull up my audio clips here. I haven't even fired that part of the computer up yet here, but that's all right. It won't take too long. But Jimmy Failla on his Saturday night comedy show on Fox News had Piers Morgan. You guys remember Piers Morgan, the British guy who used to have his own show on CNN? And yeah, I mean, when he was on CNN, it was just like, he's always pushing gun control. And you're like, oh, Piers Morgan. Oh, here we go. Pinkies up. Drink your tea. Not anymore. Man, Piers Morgan was on with Jimmy Failla on Saturday night. And it was freaking hilarious. All these books are coming out right now about how Joe Biden was completely out of it. How, yeah, he wasn't fit to be commander-in-chief, and, he didn't know where he was, and he needed, note cards just to remember the names of even his own cabinet members. There was a story in the Daily Caller last week where a top aide finally admits that Biden was rapidly declining, falling asleep by the pool, and this was from Ron Klain, who was a top aide to Biden, so that was in the Daily Caller last week. But Jimmy Failla sums up, I don't even think it's that book. I think there's several books coming out now. All of the people who straight up lied to you to your face about Joe Biden's cognitive decline, now they're able to tell the truth. They lied to you for 4 years, but now they're able to tell you the truth. Here's how Jimmy Failla opened things up Saturday night.
Welcome back. Okay. So a new book claims that Joe Biden was so old and so out of it that his staff was putting makeup on him before Zoom meetings. Now, technically speaking, that's still better than what Jeffrey Toobin was doing before Zoom meetings. But the book's author also says Biden's staff put fluorescent tape on the floor to guide him in and out of a fundraiser.
Oh, yeah, they put fluorescent tape on the floor just to show him where to walk. They had to write down the names of his own cabinet members on note cards in his own cabinet meetings so he knew who his closest advisors were. By the way, technically Jeffrey Toobin wasn't doing that before the Zoom meeting. He did it during the Zoom meeting. Oh, man. That'd be like the makeup person coming in while Biden's still on camera, you know, just smacking him on the cheeks there. But then there was this. But then, you know, Jimmy Fallon, after spoken and joking with Piers Morgan for a little while, gets Piers Morgan's take on Joe Biden, you know, because here's Piers Morgan. He was across the pond. He's back in London. And he could clearly see what you and I could see from back here in the United States of America.
Well, look, I'm not American,
fair,
despite your claim about my accent. I did not spend, I mean, I probably spend about a week every 2 months in this country. And yet, oddly, from London, I was able to tell for 3 years that Joe Biden was Gaga. And I actually have the receipts because I was doing a weekly column for the New York Post. Uh-huh. And I kept saying this in my columns. You do realize your commander-in-chief is non compos mentis. The lights have gone out. There is nobody at home. And I kept writing this, and people were like, no, I kept turning on the mainstream TV news here, uh-huh. and they'd be like, we've never seen him sharper. He's so sharp. He's the sharpest I've ever seen. He's so sharp, he's literally knifing things with his hand, with his bare hands. And it was all a complete fraud. And the truth is, uh-huh. Joe Biden was basically, I would say, unfit for office from about 6 months into his tenure.
Yeah, that was very obvious, although you could say he was unfit for office on day one of his tenure. You know, what did he do on day one? Open up the borders for this illegal alien invasion and then shut down, you know, projects right here in Montana, like the Keystone XL pipeline, kicking thousands of union workers alone to the curb. All right, but there was, and then of course after that serious conversation there with Piers Morgan, Jimmy Fallon had to ask, do you guys remember, you know, Easter's right around the corner, you guys remember this one?
You know what it was for me? It was when they sent the Easter Bunny to interrupt him at the egg roll. Watch this clip. I have a revelation. Just give me a second of this clip. Watch this. Watch him react. Okay. You see, oh my God! Piers. Tell me he doesn't look like a man who believes he met a talking bunny.
He does. He does.
He's like,
he does.
Oh, you guys remember that clip? Remember when the big old white Easter bunny comes up over to Biden and he looks back like, oh, his mouth's like drooping down, his eyes are wide open. They aren't lying. He looked like a guy who thought he literally was talking to a talking bunny. And it took the talking bunny to get Joe Biden away from the rope line. And yet they still lied to you every single day. Same liberal media that now cheerleads all these anti-Trump protests every day.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The price system exists to allocate resources. That sounds like a line from a college lecture. That's because it is. And as those of us who occasionally lecture to make a living know, plenty of people don't like to be lectured to. And it turns out that plenty of people don't like the price system either. You see that emotion every time a natural disaster creates an immediate shortage of something, like gasoline or batteries. When those shortages cause price spikes, there are screams about gouging and greed, when really it's the price system doing its job. And the mindset of many, perhaps even the majority, prices should be low because we don't like the pain of paying for them. And when it comes to most forms of energy, that's especially so. Utility bills, gasoline, these things must be cheap. At the same time, those who take advantage of low prices to consume large amounts, driving big trucks, building 8,000 square foot homes, are shamed. And if you want to build a data center that consumes huge amounts of energy, you might even be stopped. I'm Patrick Barton.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. It was sheer coincidence that two of the witnesses before a rare public hearing of the Senate Intelligence Committee were part of the botched text chain about military action in Yemen. Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard and CIA Director John Ratcliffe were scheduled for the committee's annual worldwide threats hearing. But something else commandeered the talk of the town. Had the text chain about the military strikes not dropped, there would have been lengthy discussions about domestic terrorism and the threat at the border, how the U.S. was grappling with China, was there progress in the Middle East, and how about the war in Ukraine? Democrats have reeled since the early days of the second Trump administration, and then Democrats scored a gift with the bollocksed text chain. Or it was at least something Democrats could wield against the other side. They were apoplectic about the group chat. Democrats charged that intelligence officials were cavalier with information. The group chat story is here to stay, at least for a while, until another major story barrels its way onto the scene and rattles everything on Capitol Hill. And at that point, the new subject becomes the talk of the town. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
It's tax day. You can get a break from filing, but you do have to pay. I'm Jenny Cosola with your Fox Business Tax Tip coming up.
I'm Benjamin Hall, Fox News senior correspondent and New York Times best-selling author. Join me every Monday on my podcast as I speak with silent but noteworthy heroes. Make sure you subscribe to my podcast, Searching for Heroes with Benjamin Hall, wherever you download podcasts, and leave a rating and a review.
Not ready to file your taxes? Carl Breedlove, lead tax research analyst with the Tax Institute at H&R Block, says you can file with the IRS for an extension.
Simply filing the paperwork and sending it in, you'll get that automatic six-month extension, and that'll give you until October 15th to file that return.
However, you still need to pay the IRS.
Estimate the amount of money that you'll owe and pay at least 90% of that.
There is both a failure to file penalty and a failure to pay penalty. Jenny Cosola, Fox News.
Good morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Ag Report. I'm Russell Nemitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Ag Network. Well, the EPA's recent efforts to make pesticide registrations comply with the Federal Endangered Species Act has certainly left a lot of farmers swimming in a veritable sea of agency alphabet soup, if you will, and additional rules that can seem overwhelming. This season, three herbicide products, Enlist One, Enlist Duo, and Liberty Ultra, all carry labels with specific and detailed requirements intended to protect threatened and endangered species. However, decoding the alphabet soup and getting in compliance can be simplified into a handful of steps. To make things easier, Extension weed scientists across the country are offering the following five-step process that a farmer can use to simplify their ESA requirement for these three herbicides. Step one, accept the requirement reality. Step two, check for bulletins. Step three, determine required runoff, erosion mitigation credits, and points. Step four, determine your spray drift buffer distance. And step five, just document the overall process. Stay with us. We'll have more ag news right after this. Triple T Land and Livestock's annual production sale is Wednesday, April 9th at Buffalo Livestock Marketing, Buffalo, Wyoming. Sale time is 1 o'clock. You won't want to miss out on these 55 yearling bulls, bred to bring profitability to every aspect of the industry with the most elite sires and standout genetics. Check out the bulls and 30 replacement heifers at bar-t3livestock.com or come see them in person at the ranch in Newcastle. Triple T Land and Livestock, bulls bred to keep you in the black. Sale also carried live on Cattle USA.
At Ag West, we know ag financing like you know office hours are all the hours. For over a century, we've supported the people who are the heart of ag and believe you deserve a financial partner who works as hard as you do. You can find us anytime, day or night, at agwestfc.com. Equal opportunity provider and employer. Equal housing lender.
Well, a federal judge has ruled in favor of landowners and counties challenging the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service's 2022 decision to split the lesser prairie chicken into two distinct population segments under the Endangered Species Act. Judge David Counts of the U.S. District Court for the District of Western Texas ruled that the agency didn't follow the language and economic costs stated under the blanket Section 4D rule. Additionally, the court ruled that the agency failed to consider economic costs when issuing the 4D rule. In November of 2022, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service split the lesser prairie chicken into two distinct populations under the ESA. The northern DPS, found in the Texas Panhandle, Oklahoma, Kansas, and Colorado, was designated as threatened, while the southern DPS, located in West Texas and New Mexico, was classified as endangered. And finally this morning, the American Sheep Industry Association is hosting a scrapie forum at the National Institute for Animal Agriculture's annual conference this Wednesday in Kansas City. The forum is designed to foster discussion among industry stakeholders about what being scrapie-free will mean from a business and regulatory perspective. The forum is available to producers both in person and online. For more information, visit sheepusa.com.
Ag.com. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nimitz.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's see. Sorry, that's such a short intro. I'm like, oh, man, it's good. It's good. Don't get me wrong. I got to get adjusted to the shorter intro because usually I got about 10, 15 seconds to, you know, drink a little more coffee and then start talking. But no, I like the shorter. Let's just jump right into it. That's what we should be doing. We got plenty of back and forth here. Let's see. I wanted to play this clip. This is incredible. King Kai Stewart, Great Falls, Montana zone. He just had a huge win in Dubai over the weekend. Montana's King Kai reigns supreme in Dubai at the BKFC, at the Bare Knuckle Fight Championships. I think I saw Conor Lorenz was there. I think some Montanans actually traveled there to go watch Kai Stewart actually fight in Dubai for the BKFC. But man, I tell you what, wait till I play this clip for you. I think I'll save it for later on in the 7 o'clock hour for the drive to work, drive to school crowd here this morning. Although some of your kids have today off of school. So anyway, whatever. Montana's King Kai reigns supreme in Dubai at the BKFC. The video and the audio after he gets that championship belt once again put around his waist by none other than Conor McGregor is absolutely incredible. So I'll share that audio with you here in about 1 hour. But since we just had the Farm and Ranch Report, I want to get right to this one here. Ag Secretary Rollins. This is from the Rapid Response 47, which is the Trump White House's rapid response element on X. Secretary Rollins calls out fake Tapper. That's Jake Tapper on CNN. Secretary Rollins calls out fake Tapper over the European Union's refusal to take American agricultural exports. She says they are using fake science and unsubstantiated claims to not take our products. We produce the safest, the most secure, the best food in the world. But anyway, so Tapper, in this back and forth, Tapper, like the liberal media always does, it's almost like they're rooting for the other team. They're not rooting for America. They're always trying to undermine America. That's why they're cheerleading these anti-Trump, these anti-Elon Musk, these anti-everything left-wing protests that took place over the weekend. That's what they do. They cheerlead the other team. They're cheerleaders for the other team here. And so when Donald Trump puts reciprocal tariffs in place, the liberal media sees it as their job to undermine the president of the United States of America and to instead spew the talking points for the people that are blocking American products. So Jake Tapper is saying, well, look, the Europeans, they're not putting tariffs against American producers. They referenced pork in particular, but you could slide beef into this equation as well. Well, they're not tariffing Americans. They're just saying, it's for scientific reasons. Well, it's because of this, it's because of that. That's why they're not allowing American products into Europe. Secretary Brooke Rollins, man, I didn't know much about her before Trump tapped her to be the agriculture secretary, but man, she was awesome. She just fired back. She said, wait, Jake. And then she lays it down. I'll play Brooke Rollins, the ag secretary. Something else that Brooke Rollins said here. Let's see, where is it at here? Mexico won't take our corn. Australia won't take our beef. It's time for a change. But this is where she called out fake Tapper, as the Trump rapid response element refers to him.
But wait. Hold on, Jake. No. This is really important. You can't just say that. So here's the bottom line. They are using fake science and unsubstantiated claims to not take our products. So it isn't just that they have high tariffs. Thank you for making this point for me, by the way. I meant to make it. It's not just the tariff numbers. It's the way they've treated our products. Oh, sorry, we can't take your beef since 2002 because you use a certain type of feed. That's just absolute bull. It is not correct and not appropriate. Our supplies, our farmers and ranchers, we produce the safest, the most secure, the best food in the world. And so to use that for the EU to say, oh my goodness, we can't do it because of this reason, it's absolutely wrong and it's not based on sound science.
Okay. Yeah, great job there by Brooke Rollins and President Trump. See, we're just supposed to sit back and take it. We're supposed to let them discriminate against our products, but we're not supposed to fight back at all. That's been the narrative for decades now. All right, let's sneak in a quick phone call before the break. Nancy in Roundup, what's going on this? Okay, all right. trying to go to the phone line. Now she's back on another line. Nope, nobody's on the line there. So I don't know if we're if our phone lines are having some issues there or what. Okay. All right. Let's see. Where was I at now? All right. The other clip here from Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins. Here's what she has to say here about just what President Trump is doing overall.
This whole concept is about rebuilding an American economy around American goods, around American industry. We do already live under a tariff regime in this country, but it's the tariff regime of China, of Mexico, of Brazil, of Australia, of countries that Mexico won't take our corn, Australia won't take our beef. The country of Honduras takes more pork than the entire European Union does, American pork, I should say. So from our farming and ranching perspective, which is what I'm focused on, but happy to talk about anything, that it is time for a change, and that's what this president evoked last Wednesday. So I think we'll see in short order really positive outcome from this. We already have 50 countries that have come to the table over the last few days, over the last weeks, that are willing and desperate to talk to us. We are the economic engine of the world, and it's finally time that someone, President Trump, stood up for America.
All right. Yeah, well said. We've got more to follow on that front, plus some big news here in Montana to talk about as well. What about this liberal Missoula judge pushing his personal agenda by blocking a law just signed by Montana's governor to protect women's safe spaces? A very interesting write-up by the Western Montana News about this far-left liberal judge in Missoula pushing his personal agenda. We'll get to that story. Plus, the Montana Republican Party rebukes 9 Republican state senators.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Yeah, so this was the story, Roy McKenzie with the Western Montana News website. I would encourage you guys to follow that. It's hard to get real news out of Missoula oftentimes. I mean, if it's not, you know, some of our friends in radio, outside of that, I mean, it's just... where are you going to go to find real news, or especially where are you going to go to find the hard hitting news, right? That's the real point here, is that everybody just, you know, kind of tenderfoots around everything. So this judge, this is the headline. The headline might get somebody to go, whoa, what's with the headline there? One gay judge just told Montana women their privacy is bigotry. So this judge, Shane Van Atta in Missoula, he was appointed to the bench by former Democrat Governor Steve Bullock. And it seems pretty obvious that this judge is, I'm not trying to be mean here, this judge is a complete moron. This guy does not have the mental capacity to be a district judge. All you got to do is look at his ruling to understand that. But see, Bullock wanted a gay judge. Got to have the gay judge. Got to check the woke checkbox. Now, let me just say before you know, one of you leftists out there says, oh, he's attacking gay people. Donald Trump has gay people that serves on his team, but they're competent. They have brains. Rick Grenell, who was his ambassador and part of his team, his treasury secretary, a smart guy, right? But this guy... This Judge Van Atta in Missoula is an absolute train wreck. I mean, if you go in, you got to see this tweet that I shared over the weekend where they highlight just some of the decisions this guy makes. This guy basically said in his opinion, well, the men that are going into women's bathrooms, their privacy is more important than the women going into the women's bathrooms. Okay, look, if the women didn't care about their privacy, the women would go into any bathroom. They would go into the men's bathroom. The women go into the women's bathroom because they want privacy. But see, And in Montana, we have a constitutional right to privacy, right? It's actually spelled out in the Montana Constitution. But this judge says, well, the men's right to privacy, to walk into any bathroom they want, is far more important than the women's right to privacy. And then there were some other things in his ruling that we'll have to pull up the whole thread on here. But basically, the point in the reporting that Roy McKenzie is doing here for Western Montana News is that this is judicial activism meeting gender theology, where privacy is heresy and illusion is law. And what's pretty obvious here is that, you know, Steve Bullock put this guy on the bench in far left Missoula to check the woke checkbox, to push the LGBTQ agenda. And that's exactly what this judge is doing with his ruling. You remember the Montana legislature, for all the division that exists in the Republican caucus and in the legislature right now, they united to protect women's safe spaces. This is an 85%, 90% issue where people believe that women deserve safe spaces, locker rooms, bathrooms. Women in women's prisons deserve protection regardless of the crimes they committed. Women who are seeking shelter at a woman's shelter shouldn't have some man trying to invade their women's shelter. But no, the rainbow judge in Missoula wants to push the radical LGBTQ agenda. That's exactly why he was put on the bench. So check that piece out at Western Montana News. The Montana Republican Party censured nine Republican state senators, the nine Republican state senators who have been voting with the Democrats on key rules and committee assignments. I'll tell you about that story here in just a second. But Nancy and Roundup back on the phone lines. Nancy, all right, what's going on?
Well, good morning. I just want to say I have a request for our Attorney General and just an update on the Busy Bee Park. I talked to our Attorney General last Thursday on your sister's station, KGVO, and he's just not sounding his old self. I know he's under a lot of stress because of this ridiculous, obscene, nutso California federal judge that's got 41 charges against him. So keep our Attorney General Austin Knutson in your thoughts and prayers.
Well, it's not a judge. It's just a complaint from a liberal lawyer in California. But yeah, point taken.
Okay, so anyway, getting to this Busy Bee park here, I didn't quite know everything that was going on, so I walked uptown Saturday because it was so beautiful, and on my way home, the Petrie family were at the restaurant. They were taking, personal items out after the FEMA sale, and I talked to Mark Petrie, the owner of the former owner of the Busy Bee, and he started screaming and yelling, not directly at me, because he was so angry because the town does not want the park, and there's a lot of opposition to it because it's in the floodplain. And apparently there's going to be, you know, artificial turf plus 50 trees, he was telling me. It's going to be just a walking park. And he just started screaming and yelling that it's a dumb deal, that the commissioners signed the papers, and on and on and on he went. But so there's a lot of opposition, and it is in the floodplain. I explained before that the river ran behind it and then back out across the highway and where the U-Haul is. Across that way and rejoined, you can see the original riverbed that the railroad changed on the other side of the highway, and it started to empty in there. But so I don't know what's going to happen here. There's a lot of angry people in Roundup over this Busy Bee Park, and that horse is going to be part of the park with a plaque that calls it Busy Bee Park.
Interesting. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, if it sounds to me like what the owner of the Busy Bee is saying, that it's going to be more of a natural park with trees and kind of open space, then I trouble to see how the floodplain could be a challenge to that. If it's a natural park, even if it floods every, you know, how many decades, if it's a natural park, that would seem to not be really a threat to that. But, yeah, maybe there's more to the story. Either way, yeah, thanks thanks for calling in, Nancy. Good to hear from you. Let's get to this other big story here before we get to the next break here with the Sean Hannity commentary. So, yeah, big news. I think this happened Friday after we wrapped up our time on the show. But the Montana Republican Party, either that or we had too many guests lined up Friday and didn't get to it. But the Montana GOP has basically rescinded recognition of nine Republican state senators. The Montana Republican Party has rescinded party recognition for nine state senators for aligning with Democrats during the 69th legislative session. The Montana GOP Executive Committee stated that these senators voted with Democrats on key issues, including disrupting committee assignments and opposing critical Senate rules amendments. Let's see. I've got the list here. Where did I put this one? I was pulling up another story during the last break. Oh, here we go. Here it is from the Montana Republican Party press release. The Montana Republican Party is strongly rebuking nine Republican state senators who have frequently aligned with Democrats, creating obstacles for the Republican majority in the Senate. Montana voters elected a strong Republican majority last November, expecting leadership that reflects their choices. On January 6, 2025, the first day of the 69th legislative session, and continuing to this day, nine Republican senators have partnered with the Democrat minority to overrule Republican leadership. These actions have undermined the will of the people and created a de facto 27-23 Democrat majority in the Senate. The nine Republican senators involved are Jason Ellsworth, Wendy McCamey, Gail Lammers, Josh Kassmeyer, Butch Gillespie, and Greg Hunter. Montanans voted for Republican governance, not compromises that shift power away from their elected majority. We believe these nine senators at times prioritized personal and political considerations over the broader priorities of their constituents. So there you go. We'll talk more about that story here later this morning as well. Hey, let me share some good news with you here. Of course, it's springtime. Man, nice weather yesterday. Going to have nice weather again here in the first part of the week. But great time to do some home projects, some home improvement projects. Well, YHIC, your home improvement company, continuing with their biggest sale of the year. It's a once-a-year event. I told you about windows last week. Let me tell you about bathrooms this week. Up to 30% off on a bathroom remodel, plus up to an additional 10% off and a free shower pan or bathtub. Imagine turning your bathroom into a spa-like retreat, plus the same financing you can handle from YHIC. Zero down, zero interest, zero payments for 12 months. That's until 2026. Call 406-948-2836 today to schedule your free in-home consultation. This is their biggest sale of the year. Again, get up to 30% off a bathroom remodel, plus up to an additional 10% off. And they're throwing in a free shower pan or bathtub. Go to YHIC.com to find out how with your home improvement company.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
This is the establishment temper tantrum reaction to something new out of the box that in the end is going to pay massive dividends for the country, or we could just stay with the old established way of doing things, and that means America remains a sucker nation. That's your choice here, and there really isn't there is no other alternative. Either we stay strong, united together, and understand that we're being taken advantage of and say we're not going to take it anymore, or you just get the crap kicked out of you every day and get taken advantage of by people every day. Now, I don't live my life that way. If somebody wants to punch me in the face, I'm going to punch him back. That's just the way I'm wired.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
Warning, inflation is back on the rise. The national debt is spiraling out of control. The stock market has been at an all-time high, and wars continue to rage across the globe. Experts are predicting a massive economic crash for 2025, and you should be ready. Will you sit on the sidelines and wait, or will you take action today to help protect your hard-earned retirement savings? Right now, you can get a free gold and silver kit from the top-rated precious metals company, Goldco, where you'll learn why tens of thousands of hardworking Americans and even the world's central banks are turning to precious metals to help protect and diversify their money.
Get your free gold and silver kit from Goldco by visiting HannityGold.com or calling 855-815-GOLD. You could even receive up to a 10% instant match on bonus silver for qualified accounts. Don't let your financial future slip through your fingers. Learn why so many Americans are diversifying with gold and silver today. Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunshine across the area today and some increasing clouds late today in spots. High temperature readings will trend from the mid-60s across the Bozeman area to the lower 70s in Billings. For tonight, we'll see some cloudiness and a few light showers possible in some areas. Upper 30s in Bozeman, mid-40s in Billings. And then on Tuesday, with the chances for showers, otherwise staying rather cloudy through the day. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Several more illegal aliens were arrested in Montana's Flathead Valley and are now being processed for removal from the country. By the way, did you notice the sweatshirts the guys were wearing in that photo? We've got that story at MontanaTalks.com. Plus, we talked with Toole County Sheriff Tyler Padilla about the Trende Aragua illegal alien gang arrests in Shelby, Montana, just south of the border, Canadian border, of course. Full details, MontanaTalks.com.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Friend.
All right, here we go. The legislative update here. We're into the final one-third of the Montana legislative session. Here's your legislative update from Jeff Laslaffy with the Montana Family Foundation.
When it comes to the legislature, the old adage, follow the money, is especially applicable, not just in a theoretical sense, but in a very real sense. That's because lobbyists whose agencies and organizations depend on public dollars literally follow House Bill 2 through the hallways of the Capitol as it makes its way from introduction to final passage. As a reminder, House Bill 2 is better known as the state budget. It's actually a bill just like any other bill, albeit orders of magnitude more important. In fact, it's the main reason the legislature actually meets. When I served years ago, the budget was less than $2 billion. Now, 25 years later, the budget is over $16 billion and climbing at roughly 3% per year on average. Back then, education spending made up the bulk of the budget. Now, it's human services at 44% or $7.3 billion, with education at less than half of that at $3.5 billion. No matter how you slice it, it's a lot of money, and agencies and groups from across Montana lobby hard to get their fair share. When we talk about lobbyists following the bill through the Capitol, it actually happens. For most of the session, you'll find them camped out in front of the House Appropriations Committee room and in front of various subcommittees, ready to plead their case when their section of the bill comes up for discussion. When the bill passes the House and heads for the Senate, which will happen tomorrow, the army of lobbyists pulls up stakes and follows suit. If all goes according to plan, they'll be camped out in front of the Senate Finance and Claims Committee tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock. The committee work on the Senate side goes quickly, then it's on to the Senate floor. Since the chances of the bill being amended by the Senate are 100%, the bill will then go back to the House, where the amendments will be rejected and a free conference committee will be appointed. This provides yet another chance for lobbyists to gather in the hallways outside the committee room, watching TV monitors and chewing handfuls of Tums like they're candy. Once the conference committee completes its work, it's back to the House and Senate for final approval. Once the budget passes, it's off to the races because the legislature's reason for being there is now complete. That means the final motion to adjourn can come at any moment, and once that motion passes, every other bill, no matter how important or where it is in the process, dies as a result. So, along with House Bill 2, lobbyists and legislators are now scrambling to get their bills safely across the finish line. In 2017, one of our most important bills was the third to the last to pass that session, way too close for comfort. And still fresh on the minds of every legislator is the abrupt ending of the 2023 session, when a premature motion to adjourn actually passed in the Senate, leaving many important bills suddenly dead and many legislators howling in protest. Will it happen again this year? Given the bizarre nature of this session, it's anyone's guess, and suffice to say, no one is taking any chances. Our government affairs team is working hard to beat House Bill 2 to the finish line. Historically, strange things can come up even after the legislature adjourns. In 2003, after legislators went home, someone noticed the effective date had been left off of House Bill 2. This effectively rendered the most important bill of the session null and void. At the insistence of the underwriters, the legislature was then forced to come back into the Capitol for the shortest special session in Montana history, just to put an effective date back on the bill. With roughly 3 weeks left in the session, we'll keep you posted on the progress of House Bill 2 and any other surprises that crop up along the way. For the Montana Family Foundation, this is Jeff Laszlofy reminding you that this government is your government, and your input does make a difference.
Contact the Montana Family Foundation at 406-628-1141 or on the web at montanafamily.org.
All right. Thanks, Jeff, for another great update. Coming up in the 7 o'clock hour of the show, let's see. Of course, we've got your business news with Evelyn Pyburn from the Big Sky Business Journal. We'll have more time to take your phone calls later on in the 7 o'clock hour as well. I think the 9 o'clock hour, we've got open phone lines for the entire 9 o'clock hour. And then a packed agenda for the 8 o'clock hour of the show. Darren Gobb out of Helena is going to sum up the crazy carnival circus of radical leftists that gathered at the Trump protest in Helena, whatever you want to call it, that and much more in the 8 o'clock hour.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The price system exists to allocate resources. That sounds like a line from a college lecture. That's because it is. And as those of us who occasionally lecture to make a living know, plenty of people don't like to be lectured to. And it turns out that plenty of people don't like the price system either. You see that emotion every time a natural disaster creates an immediate shortage of something, like gasoline or batteries. When those shortages cause price spikes, there are screams about gouging and greed, when really it's the price system doing its job. In the mindset of many, perhaps even the majority, prices should be low because we don't like the pain of paying for them. And when it comes to most forms of energy, that's especially so. Utility bills, gasoline, these things must be cheap. At the same time, those who take advantage of low prices to consume large amounts, driving big trucks, building 8,000 square foot homes, are shamed. And if you want to build a data center that consumes huge amounts of energy, you might even be stopped. I'm Patrick Barker.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.